Welcome back, everyone, to the Reflex Blue Show. I am your host, Donovan Beery, and I have with me Bill Gardner from Logo Lounge and from Magic Tricks Across the Universe.
Yeah, so the word's getting out. People found out that I put myself through college doing magic, and I had made a promise to myself I was going to kind of put that away for, you know, a couple of decades.
Now last year, Logo Lounge through like, it was on May the 4th.
Yeah.
Because you declared a Sith Lord. It was rough at the half.
And you being the Star Wars aficionado that you are, you kind of even shared some information with me that I hadn't even thought about.
Yeah, you had the Logo Lounge ambassadors
We just had a big old party in Chicago for Logo Lounge members and the Howies, and it was just...
No, but you had the core group was wearing, like, orange...
Oh, yeah. So,
orange blazers.
Yeah, so your listeners won't get... So Logo Lounge, the primary color of Logo Lounge is orange if you visit the site, logolounge.com. And it's always been orange. So a couple of years ago, we started doing these parties, conferences. And I thought, you know, since it's lounge and we never do anything lounge, wouldn't it be nice if we found a bunch of orange lounge jackets? So I went on eBay and I literally typed in ugly orange jacket, and I found the most amazing assortment of, you know, I mean, you can buy anything on Logo or on eBay. And we've got stuff that just rocks people's eyes, and put Logo Lounge patches on them and sized everybody out. And Von Glitchko, we actually even tailored one for him, same thing for Stefan, just so that they fit them, and it was quite the event.
Yeah, and you had mentioned, and you had yours was like a 1977.
So
Princeton jacket.
Yeah, it's the most amazing jacket. You know, if somebody ends up going to Twitter and looking up Bill Gardner Logo Lounge, they'll probably find a picture of me wearing this striped kind of regatta-looking jacket that has this vine work and all of these numeral 77s on it. And I got it having no idea what it was. And I figured out that it is a Princeton class reunion for the 77 class reunion, probably their 23 reunion, something like that. I guess Princeton, this is a deal. Every time their class reunions happen, that class goes out and has custom fabricated these jackets of unique prints, but these 77s were on it, and you were the one that pulled me aside.
Because I was like, you know, you being a logo guy, mm-hmm. you know, even though most of what we do, we shrink down to like a business card.
The small nuance of minutia meant something.
Not all logos, but you know, you still think like, even though I'm dealing with a quarter inch I still need to hide elements in there. I still need discovery. I still need it to where people find things later.
You think and like
so,
I do.
So I was like, man, he found a jacket with 77s all over because that's the year Star Wars premiered.
Obviously you'd go there.
Yeah, and I was just like, this is amazing. And then I think it was Tom who was right by. He was like, if you flip those over, it's LL for Logo Lounge.
And I didn't like the idea of being hung upside down just so people could read my jacket all night. So, you know, we kind of stopped the conversation there. But
yeah. But we were impressed. And so even without even meaning it, you've hidden meaning in your jacket.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
You know, the thing about that jacket that I love is that if you think about it, anybody who got one of those things in the Harvard class of 77 or whatever class you were in, I'm sure it's your pride and joy.
Yeah.
So this is probably from a guy that died, and his wife could care less about the fact that he graduated from Princeton in 77, and she put it up on eBay, and, you know, and here I am.
She's been waiting to get rid of that out of a closet
Don't you know?
Since 78.
Probably,
she's like, it needs to go.
She's going, this thing's gone. We're out of here. But, it's turned into kind of, I will confess, it is hanging in the closet here in the Sheraton where we're staying. It might make an appearance, but I also have a couple of other prime ones that might kind of pull out of the closet.
All right. Well, the other thing at the party is you did a magic trick.
I did.
And we were just talking about this in the hall with somebody else that everyone gathered around, saw the trick, and one of the people working at Gino's East Pizza literally, like, turned around, almost put his head on the floor, his hands are on his head. He was so blown away. He was just mouthing words like,
There were some F-bombs and S-bombs.
He couldn't believe what he saw.
Yeah.
And so when we're talking, you did magic, you've done magic. And I have even saw you might have done magic for Ali.
I did. For Muhammad Ali.
Well, I mean, what's that? I mean, What's that like?
You know, that it was such a goofy experience. It was a different time in my life where there's a gentleman that kind of my mentor named Joe Stevens, still around, and a great guy that's kind of the godfather of magic, and he knows every magician out there, and I don't mean the ones that nobody's heard of, I mean the ones that people have heard of.
Right.
And we put on conventions for years out in Las Vegas that were co-hosted by Siegfried and Roy or David Copperfield or, you know, Lance Burton and the like. So it was hobnobbing with the magicians, but Joe Stevens came up to me one day, and I'm I don't know, maybe 25 years old at the time, and says, hey,
so
there's
like 3 years ago.
Yeah, just a few, a mere few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he said, there's a guy down there in the presidential suite that loves magic, says, would you go grab a couple of tricks and head down there and knock on the door? It was at the old Frontier. Went down there, and there was a massive bodyguard at the door, and I don't know what I'm getting into. Well, as it turns out, Muhammad Ali and Siegfried and Roy had the same manager, a guy named Barely Human. Or Bernie Human was his name, but okay. He was referred to as Barely Human. So they invite me inside, and Muhammad is in there. At this point, he started to deteriorate just a little bit, but is still sharp as a wit. And
yeah.
Sitting at the table, and went over and had a chance to meet him and pulled out some magic. And anybody who knows magic knows that one of the cheapest, stupidest tricks that you can possibly buy is for $1.98, you can buy these things called multiplying rabbits, which is a little trick where a couple of little sponge rabbits turn into thousands of sponge rabbits.
Okay.
That was what I had in my pocket, of all things. I pulled it out, started going through this with him, and he had just ordered some soup because he was hungry. So he's eating matzo ball soup, which had been ordered by Bernie Human, his manager. And as we're doing this trick, the broth is just drizzling down his chin and down his neck and into his shirt. And you're just kind of going, oh my, is this going to work? You know, and where part of the trick is you take these little sponge rabbits, you put them in a person's hand. And I said, okay, hand me your hand. And his hand was, you know, it's an acre of flesh, you know, it's massive. So you start unfurling a finger at a time, his hand, to put this little teeny tiny rubber sponge rabbit into his hands and folding it back up. And, you know, he was the most nice, honest, sincere individual, just a genuine individual, and responded incredibly well to the trick, and got some pictures doing magic for Muhammad Ali. So what a treat to be able to kind of look back on that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Who knows where this profession will bring him?
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, how many famous people have I gotten to do magic for because of design? Very few.
Yeah.
But magic, you know, I mean, you do magic. Huh. That gets you in good.
All right. Well, we're going to be right back with Bill Gardner, and we're going to talk some logos. Bill, we're here at Howe.
Yep.
And you're here again because, once again, you're going to be keynoting. You're going to be, like, on the main stage, right?
Yep.
And you're gonna introduce, or you have. I mean, this will go out after the event.
Yeah.
But Logo Trends.
Yep.
2017.
Yeah, 16th year. 16 years of these things.
16 years of trends.
Yeah. So that places me age-wise.
What happened before that? Did we not have 5 trends?
You know what? Yeah, we sure did. And when we launched into doing the trend report, we didn't know that we were going to be doing this annually. It was just one of those things where Gordon Kay at Graphic Design USA said, would you write an article for us? And, you know, I said, let's kind of talk about what I'm kind of seeing out there. It has turned into such a beast of its own that as soon as the report comes out, we start getting emails from folk going, you know, when's the next one?
Yeah.
And I'm going, well, wait a minute, I just dropped this one, you know, or why didn't you do this monthly? Well, trends don't happen monthly, you know. But, so, yeah, 16 years worth of doing these things.
Yeah,
and
do you see a time when you end up doing trend of the day and then that's all you do? That would be all you would do?
Honest to God, Dono, from time to time, there are little flash-in-the-pan trends that come up that you may find that we've posted on Logo Lounge. We'll go, no, we're seeing this just because I'm not sure that the, you know, sell before date's going to last to the next trend report.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah.
And you would assume that if you're doing something that's going to be a trend for like 3 days, logos probably aren't the place to do that in.
Yeah. You, well, you know, So let's talk about what's happened with the design industry and trends and the likes for a minute, because obviously we move at such a mercurial pace right now that it's possible for a trend to occur and burn itself out before somebody actually is able to integrate it into a decent program. Designers that might get onto Dribbble or other Folio sites, you know, let's go back to when everybody was doing the little crossed arrows or crossed lines with something different in each one of the quadrants of the likes that kind of happened overnight and burned out within the same week. You know, it was one of those things where people were embarrassed to put them up after the first 3 days. They thought they'd done something pretty cool. But I think that I really need for the people listening to this to understand this, because I'm going to talk about two words here. I'm going to use the word trendy and I'm going to use the word trend. I will assure you that the very first email that I get after the report comes out will be from somebody saying, thank God I didn't get a logo in your trend report, because I would hate to be thought of as trendy. And there is a dramatic difference between those two words.
Right.
Trendy means it's fashionable, it's, you know, it's a fad, it's, you know, it has a very quick lifespan. It's a flash.
That's the thing where you're talking, where somebody looks at it and they said, oh, this is from 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
they can pinpoint down the date.
It's exactly what you're talking about there. And the trend report is not about trendy. The trend report is about trends. And when I say trend, you know, we all live by trends, you know, where we eat, what we read, what we watch, you know, the clothes that we wear. These are all based off of trends. We bring something unique to them because we all do it a little bit different. But when you start talking about trends, you're talking about the trajectory that something's moving in. You're talking about evolution. Is evolution trendy? No, it, you know, kind of happens slowly, megalithically over, you know, many thousands of years. But a trend is looking at the direction something is moving in. And things are always moving in a direction. So think about the trend report really as identifying those things on the fringe that is a direction things are moving in. And some of them may turn into something really significant. They might turn into the next T-Rex. Something else may be something very insignificant, a piece of fluff, you know, some enigmatic thing that vanishes quickly. But unless you look at those, you have no idea where things are moving.
Yeah, and my favorite ones in the trend report are the ones where you actually harken back to like the year before's trend.
Mm.
Like, didn't monoline turn into something?
Yeah.
Like thick line?
So 2010 was when we first identified monoline. Not in the report, it was 2011, but by 2013, there were so many iterations of monoline that we couldn't publish all of them in the trend report, which is always kept to 15 items. You know, so it's interesting to bring that up, because this year's report, one of the things that's come out of monoline, and if I want people to imagine this, or they can go to Logo Lounge and they can look at all of the trends by clicking on the trend button from previous years. When monoline came about, designers were basically saying, I'm going to take this shape, but instead of defining it by field, I'm going to define it by the edges of the field. So they took a very fine line and defined the edges of that shape. That became monoline design. Everything was reduced down to these very consistent thin lines. And
that's still being used.
And it's still effective.
So that's what you wouldn't call that trendy.
No. Because it was a trend.
I still see people launch brand new stuff that
and
looks
beautiful
great
stuff,
using it.
Exquisite stuff that okay. really works very well. So it's a trend, but you know, people wouldn't be doing it now unless somebody identified it then and said, "Oh,
yeah,
here's a trend." So what's happening is that every trend, people start to push a little bit further, and it evolves with. This year, what we're really starting to see, is the fact that those lines are starting to thicken up to the degree that we've almost done this reboot back to the 70s, so that the lines are so thick now that they're describing the field and that the edges are left in negative space. So it's just inverted itself. They just keep getting fatter and fatter, these big old fat, heavy Kevlar kind of lines that Aaron Draplin was, you know, so responsible for to some degree. But
oh, yeah, because he's hashtagging thick lines.
Yeah, but ultimately you track that back and you're walking back to Saul Bass. You know, I mean, it's taking a look at, you know, the work that was going on during the 70s.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's just weird because it's kind of like when you say it like that, it's like fashion. It's just going to go back, and then next thing we're all wearing bell bottoms again.
Yeah. Yeah. And we are. And can I say that those look really good on you?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I love the paisley swag you've got and the embroidery on the bottom of it. I mean,
I work at it.
For those of you who haven't seen Donovan in his new wardrobe, this is pretty amazing stuff.
If I could get a perm growing out, I would, but I just.
That's why they make wigs, Donovan.
Okay. Maybe I'll make another stop when I'm here.
Good.
So what else are you doing anything else here at Howe other than giving the trend report?
You know, that's pretty much it this year. I'm doing a couple of little sessions in the morning with a couple of folks, but honestly, it's been knocked down to that. We just went down to Creative South. I got to give a yell out to Mike Jones and the group down in Columbus, Georgia. If you've not been down there, what an amazing conference that is. Not to shame the talent that's here at Howe, because there is some just kick-ass talent here. Talent per square inch at the Creative South Conference is just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I love Howe Conference. It's probably the biggest one of these
mm-hmm.
there is
in this genre, yeah.
You know, we probably hit 3,000-4,000 people here.
Yeah.
But there's also something about, like, if you do, like, I assume that one, or, like, I've done, like, design camp. And
yes. Stuff,
where you get, where there's basically, like, hey, we have 5 keynotes and we have a few breakouts.
Mm-hmm.
There's an intimate feel to that.
Yeah.
That's more regional.
Yeah.
That it's a different vibe. So
you know.
it's once again, not disparaging this, because this is great.
No,
it's
no.
It's huge, But there's something about those smaller ones, too, that if they're done right, they're just so great.
Yeah.
They're so good.
You know, each conference has their own kind of signature thing. And the thing that I love about Howe is that it brings together such an amalgam of people. It's, you know, you get those that are just madly talented. You get those that are madly talented but kind of hidden within corporations that you would never hear about otherwise that you get to see for the very first time. So cool, cool people here.
Okay, well, we're going to be right back with Bill Gardner. All right, so you said you got something else about trends here?
Oh, sure. So the thing that I kind of am opening up with, because everybody kind of goes, you know, what are the basics on trends? And I almost feel a little bit embarrassed about this because, you know, as you talk about trends, you tend to want to look forward. But I think one of the things that really is happening so heavily this year is that we're highly influenced by this nostalgia, you know, this level of reboot that millennials are experiencing. One of the things that's happening is, you know, so I'm old enough that I've lived through multiple generations here, you know,
yeah.
But it's a millennial group that's kind of looking back at the 80s or the 60s or the 40s or the 20s,
yeah.
And they've never experienced them, but they're grabbing that key kind of element, that aesthetic, and trying to bring it forward and blend it with what's going on today in their identities, and it's kind of giving them this comfort zone. You know, you look at Stranger Things.
The Netflix show is so good. So
yeah.
Good.
Oh, it's amazing, but I'll tell you what it also did. When the title graphics on that came out, you know, using Bingat, the typeface, it kind of sent a bunch of designers who'd been looking at serif fonts, you know, in all caps, kind of go, oh my, what are those things hanging off those letters? Those little things, those are so cool to see, you know. And it made this mass migration of designers go back to their font folders looking through all of this, all the serif fonts again for the first
yeah.
time. You know, you look at what Leland Mashmeyer did with Chibani, you know, on the reboot for them, you know, with these fat, curvy, you know, hanging on the bone kind of fonts going on. And you're starting to see people kind of reboot. You know, anytime a movie gets rebooted, The cool thing for the generation that saw it the first time is that there's always a twist. You know, when you reboot, yeah, it's the old movie. We're going to do it with some new actors, but we're going to throw a twist into it. And that's the great thing about design is that they're kind of looking at these things from a different period. They're looking at the Colonel from Kentucky Fried Chicken, except it's Reba now. You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's
kind of... How many
it's
Colonels
kind of,
have they gone through?
I don't... 6, 7, 8? There's plenty of room.
Well,
you know?
It's better than that CGI one they brought in.
I don't know that I saw the CGI one. Did they have a...
That was like a decade ago, I think.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And it was creepy.
But you kind of see what I'm talking about. You know, if you look at what's happening right now bar-wise, tiki bars are, you know, hipper and happening than anything else because, frankly, tiki bars are highly visual and a generation of millennials which live by experience as opposed to possession, like to take photos of things, like to share their experiences off their phone, to share them on social media. And, you know, know, that's their possession, is whatever they're sharing visually. So you're seeing a generation of designers that are kind of reevaluating design based off of other people's experiences in nostalgia and kind of bringing it forward. Color is the other one. And just real quickly on color is that if I said orange, you'd say Home Depot. Or if I said magenta, you might say T-Mobile. So what color is Instagram?
Is it that rainbow thing?
There's that, you know, transition.
I don't use Instagram.
Well, so you know, if you did, you'd know that there was a great, you know, it was heresy when they changed the logo from the old Polaroid camera to this multicolored thing. But now everybody understands that purple through yellow gradation means Instagram. I think you start looking at much more subtle ones. Tinder, their new logo drafting from red through orange, of course, to flame. Belfast drifting from yellow through an orange, you know, and it's just this subtle gradation. So it's not really a matter of looking at it as a gradation. We call it blurple. You can guess why. But it really is the idea that people now look at a gradation because we're in a, you know, RGB dominion. They look at a gradation, and to them, that's a color.
Well, you had mentioned, like, When I got into the profession or started when I started learning in this profession,
yep,
the stat cam was just going away.
Yeah.
It was just going away.
I spent more hours in the dark with that thing.
Yeah, like I worked at the campus print shop and they still had one.
Oh yeah. They were probably the last one to lose it.
Yeah, probably. They may still have
one. They may.
And so we were taught, you know, like the Paul Rand logos were, it has to reduce to just one color, black and white, because someone's going to take a photo of it, and then they're going to basically provide these sheets to...
Yeah, do you remember those?
Yeah, well, I mean, as I said, they were leaving when I was coming in. So I saw them, but they were still like... They were like in the cabinet by the time I got in the profession, but they hadn't been thrown in the dumpster yet.
Yeah.
You know, because people were like, well, we
the 1-inch logo or the 2-inch logo or the 3-inch logo, yeah, that were all 133 lines green or 80 lines green. Or,
yeah. And so, like, if you were a large company, you could send it to everyone that might need your logo and they could make
sheets.
Ads with it.
Yeah.
Well, when you came through Omaha, and it's been over a decade ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's long.
I've actually been there a time or two since then. But yeah, I think it was when you and I first met.
Possibly.
Yeah.
And it had mentioned that, and you talked about one of the things in your talk was you know, even then you said that this, you showed logos that, I think you showed like Microsoft had done like a butterfly that's this gradations and everything.
MSNBC or MSN, yeah.
And you're like, this logo will never be in print. Or if it is, it'll be like very limited.
Yeah.
They'll just pay for a 4-color business card.
Yeah. Now, the way you said that, I don't want to mislead people. When I said it'll never be in print, yeah, obviously it'll be in print, but my point was MSN had made the decision at the time it was going to be an entirely paperless society. Everything that we do is going to be on the internet, which could care less about how well color reproduces in black and white.
Yeah, and I meant that
yeah.
I guess it came across that you're like 95% of this use will mm-hmm.
exactly.
on a screen object.
Yep.
So, and then
don't
you showed
the tail wag the dog.
You showed another logo where you're like, this logo animates because 95% of its use will be
exactly
on a screen.
Yeah.
Probably even way over 95%. And so it changed the way, you know, all of a sudden I was like, oh, because I was still designed in black and white and then we'd add color later. And after that, it's like,
you've got to think about the context.
We're just, you know, it changed art.
Yeah.
You know, we was like, all right, we're moving forward.
Okay, so here, and this is getting serious for a second, but you know, I'm sure I'll find a way to make it light, which is that think about this. You know, when I talk about a CMYK or an RGB world, you know, CMYK, we're in a room here with lights on, and I've got to have lights on to be able to see something that's printed in CMYK because I've got to have light reflect off of it into my eyes.
Yeah.
RGB, it's a screen. It literally, you know, as you look at a screen, it's light projecting directly into your eyes. So the dynamics of the way that a generation looks at color has shifted dramatically because the generation that has never lived without a desktop or a mobile device projecting light at them has a distinctively different interpretation of color because they're accustomed to color coming directly at them as a light form as opposed to as a reflective light form like my generation has. So they have different thoughts about color than I do. It's shifted. You know, I mean, physiologically, I'm talking we're shifting society in the way we look at color.
No.
Try and make that light.
Yeah. but it's one more thing where when we say, you know, it's also why the trends never change or never end.
Yep.
Because in a way they're kind of, even though you go nostalgia, you're moving forward. Like even the Stranger Things,
sure,
that was based on the covers of the books of Stephen King and everything.
Yeah.
But they're still, and even though they say they did it the old way, it's like nobody ever created that before.
Yeah.
They're creating it for a screen based on something that it's supposed to remind
you. Yeah, and it was Imaginary Force that did the artwork on that.
Ago.
And you got to give them a lot of credit for looking in that direction on that to come up with that. Can you believe what a phenomenon, you know, not only that as a show has been, but even that graphic within the design industry?
Well, it's so good that even when you watch it and you're like, I've watched every episode.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't fast forward through it. You're like, you know what?
It's you want to
savor
it.
It's only 30 seconds and I want to watch it again.
You want to see every Eggo that rolls by you.
Yeah. You know, it has not made me nostalgic for Eggos, though. I have not bought a new box of those because of the show.
You know, sales have dramatically increased on Eggos.
I would not doubt it.
No.
But I haven't been like, oh, I need another one of those, whatever.
As kind of a side thing, you'll see it in the presentation. I have a little bit of fun with Eggos and the number of Eggo logos that I've seen coming out, that people desiring to do waffles for logos, but it's a little bit of bullshit, but it's kind of fun. So
all right.
We'll put that in there.
All right. Well, we look forward to your talk. And once again, anything new on Logo Lounge coming up?
What's going on Logo Lounge?
You did a Wichita meetup,
So we're starting to get some real intrigue from our members wanting to do some kind of gatherings, and we've done a couple of meetups already. We do more with that. If anything, I encourage people to, you know, if you're not familiar with logolounge.com, it is a pay site. It's $100 annual membership, and it is incredibly well worth having a membership, because it is one of the most incredible resources of design that you can have out there. So incredibly highly searchable and contextualized that I'll just leave it at that. Go check that out.
I've been a member for, I think, about 5 years now. So
you know what? And appreciated.
And it's, and, you know, originally I was like, it's like, I don't know, but it's fun. It's the only place we show work that hasn't been published.
Mm.
Everything else, all the other sites, I don't show anything until it's like,
and that's the
until
cool
it's out there.
Thing.
But on that one, I'm like, yeah, we'll show like the four comps we did for Logo, even if only one of them was.
So
good.
Donovan, you just nailed it, which is that there are so many great designs out there that people have never seen because it wasn't what won. You know, it wasn't the one that got selected by the client. That's what people tend to do on Logo Lounge, is upload everything that they have shown a client, so that you get everything that's out there. It makes a huge difference.
And how
really
many
does.
Books? I know Logo Lounge 10
so
came out.
Just
I think
did,
since we last spoke.
Yeah. So Logo Lounge 10 came out this last fall. I think last time we spoke, we just finished the call for entry on it. But it just came out. Again, head to logolounge.com and click on books and order through there, or Amazon or Book Baby.
We've also done the Logo Creed or something.
Did Logo Creed, then, like, which is the textbook for college courses and the likes on design.
And then three or four master
we
libraries.
Did the God, your memory is amazing. The master library. We've done a total of 15 books now,
okay,
which, you know, within the industry, gosh, that's a huge number of books. And
that's more books than I've read in the last 20 years.
Oh, be honest. It's more books than you've ever actually read. But yeah, we're mostly pictures, so you may have made it through those books.
Yeah. Okay, well, Bill, we look forward to seeing it. Look forward
Great.
To the trend report. It's technically premiered, like, well, in tomorrow or 2 weeks ago, depending on how you look at time. And it'll come out in the next issue of GDUSA.
Sounds perfect.
All right.
Hey, thanks, Donovan.
The Reflex Blue Show with Donovan Beery is hosted at 36point.com. Music by Dustlab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.